You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Lauren Erdrich. Lauren, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thanks for having me.
Lauren, we're going to talk about your painting, Sun Worship, which is at Massey Cline now as part of it's a group show, and it's a great show. I really enjoyed looking at that show and seeing your work in there, but also seeing all the other work in there. How do you feel in this context of the show? Because it's a specific idea, right? It's, I don't know if it's thought of as generational, the title of the show, or something else. How do you feel about the group, or what that means, the kind of being in that group?
I think it's a good concept to build a show around, and I was really happy with the way that the show ended up looking and came together. I feel like it feels like something a bit analog, you know, like we exist, everyone in that show somehow exists or makes work with, I don't know, somehow manually, but that doesn't make any sense.
Well, it does. I mean, it was Kids Without the Internet is the title, so in a way, yeah, not without the internet, but I mean that title, yeah, which is why, yeah, we're talking about it, and that's kind of interesting, Kids Without the Internet. Do you think there's like something that's kind of a historical set, right, that who were the last kids without the internet, right? I mean, I guess that would be born in the 70s or 80s or something, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess my generation is like this generation that remembers before the internet and then has the internet, you know, or before social, I mean, you feel like before social media and then with social media. So like we're this crossover.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's different, I suppose, as opposed to kids with the internet now, like growing up with an iPad, being a toddler with an iPad, right? That's a different sense of visually interacting with the world almost, right?
Yeah, and to have so much art at your fingertips, you know, like we didn't have that, I guess, except through, I mean, I grew up going to museums. I grew up in Washington, D.C., so all the museums were free, you know. So I just grew up looking at art and reading, but not having, like, this endless feed of images to look at and not being able to see artists from all around the world and make these connections and in so many ways, which have benefited, I think,
How so visually? How do you think that has benefited? I mean, I know this is that's kind of a hard question to know, but yeah, how do you think that's benefited yourself, that not having that endless stream of media as opposed to, what kids have now, and adults as well, of course?
I mean, I don't know, not being on the other side of it, right? I don't know what their experience is, but I guess I think I learned to some extent like the value of looking at things, like actually looking and spending time with things, and the time that it takes to actually absorb something. I think that there was like a less of this like quick fix of like just going through and going from one thing to another. I mean, maybe there was a longer attention span, you know? I mean, I remember, mm-hmm. like, sitting and just staring in ways that I don't do now because there's always something else to do, unless I make a concerted effort to kind of disconnect myself from, like, my phone or from, you know, the city or something like that.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's true. I think there's a new term coined for that, a general media disorder. I heard it was a Jungian lecture, but they were talking about, therapists were talking about the idea of kids growing up on the internet, and for that matter, adults, you know, exhibiting the same behavior now, and that you know, they were saying, what is it? Someone was asking, because it was kind of a group for therapists, like, what? How would you know if you don't have general media disorder? And it was, if you can sit for 10 minutes without looking at your phone, you know, or grabbing something
yeah.
else, right? Which is kind
I
of
mean,
what you're
saying.
I mean,
it is hard.
Right?
Yeah, it is hard. I mean, I am so grateful that I grew up when I did, I mean, for many reasons. I think that, you know, to be a young girl growing up now with all the with access to so much ideas of how one should look and all that, that would have been a experience that I'm not, it was hard enough growing up, you know, when I'm sure we all did, but to not, to sit there and not have to amuse myself in some way. I mean, it is like, I have to make an effort to just sit, which I think is interesting because there's also this, all these apps for meditation, and there seems to be like a bit of a push for that too. It's like that we know that we are, that we all have this disorder and we're like trying to fix ourselves in some way.
Well, yeah, that was part of what was discussed in the press release too, this idea of, can you tell by looking at painting who grew up looking at a screen potentially and who didn't also, right? I mean, but mm-hmm. your statement is kind of the same, it's the same angle. Can you tell who grew up looking, right? Because this is such an essential part of art making, isn't it? That at least we're initially taught in school or were the importance of looking so that you can draw.
Yeah. I mean, I've been, you know, doing some writing about my work, and I was just kind of writing about how there's a certain amount, I think with my work, there's a certain amount of time that is required to fully see it. Like, your eyes have to adjust to the color to for more to come out. There's an element of time required. And I have been thinking about how that does not come naturally to me at all. You know, I'm a product of New York City. Like, here I am. Like, everything's go, go, go. Like, even though I didn't grow up with a phone, you know, it is part of my world now. You know, streaming, everything, right? And so I've been thinking about how I have kind of created the opposite within my work. Like, as I've created a process that like requires these qualities that I feel like slipping away from me, you know, the act of like sitting and looking at something, a kind of slowness to the process, like that those are things that I want to hold on to or that I deem important. And so that I have, you know, manifested this process and this way of working and these resultant paintings that, you know, inherently need those qualities.
Right, right, right. Yeah, that's so interesting. So to talk about your painting in the show, it's Sun Worship, and there's a few other paintings that I'd like to talk about that may be related to this one, but Sun Worship, this is such a beautiful one to look at because there's a lot of interesting things happening in it. There's a, it looks almost like a shadow in purple, and it's has kind of, I mean, as you just said, I think just a few moments ago, the idea of like looking longer and seeing more things in here, that's what happened when I looked at that painting. Purples come out, you know, kind of shadows, double vision, other things come out. So I'd love to talk about that a little bit, and maybe first just the process, because it's, you're using raw pigment, and this is on muslin as well, right? Which I assume is primed, but you're doing a number of things here, right? Pastel as well.
Yeah, so it is predominantly raw pigment and dye, actually, and it's on muslin. That is. It is like the lightest prime that you can imagine. You know, like I basically just make a soup of some clear gesso and do it very lightly. So it is essentially almost unprimed. I just kind of do that to strengthen the fabric a bit. And then it's layers of dye and pigment and water soluble pastel, and that building up of those things. And it's all fairly additive, like with dye especially, like there's no, and the way, and working on, you know, essentially unprimed muslin, like there's no way of really truly reversing, or like I can't like just paint it out, you know, paint white over it or sand it out or anything like that. So it's all an additive process. So it's just like a building up of layers, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, and watching and waiting for things to emerge.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And so to jump more into this one, this, you know, to me, I mean, it has a kind of almost religious feel to it. You know, I mean, sun worship is in the title, but there's flames and it's this kind of gazing piece a little bit, right? It really pulls you in and you look at it and it feels like it's could be on an altar or something. Is that a part how you intended this at all, or am I just running with it in my own direction?
No, I mean, I think it is, you know, I wouldn't use the term, like, for me, I wouldn't use the term religious, but it is a way of, yeah, like, of worshiping, right? And to me, there's, like, that piece, or the form in there, you know, is it a flower, is it a sun altar, is it, I guess a cross between that all, you know, is it a candelabra? Is it whatever it is? And to me, like when I do, I will often have these very like natural forms like flowers or just the sun or the moon. And then I'll also have the candles or the flames or the matchsticks. And I think for me, those flame type things are a kind of like the human side of it. Like, you know, they're like candles, matchsticks, man-made kind of objects that we often use it in as a way to worship, right? As a way to like reach something, I don't know, quote unquote higher. And then there's the natural kind of organic elements too that we also many of us use as a way, as a kind of avenue into connecting with something greater.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, there's something greater, especially that the canvas itself, I mean, to talk about also the process a little more, I would imagine the way you're painting also comes through the back a little bit, right? There's something happening where we don't see it, which is the back of the canvas too. Is that correct? As opposed to
yeah.
a heavily gessoed canvas where you'd see it. And stop me if I'm going too far there, but yeah, I'd love to hear more about that. Is that also part of the process? How the back of it looks at all?
Yeah. I mean, it changes. I'll go through periods, where I do this more often than not, but, because the muslin is a very thin cotton, and is traditionally used for dressmaking or even theater productions. And because it's so thin and because it's not a gessoed surface, like you said, the image does appear on the back. And so often I will photograph and show my backs as well, because they're so beautiful. And
right.
At times in my process, I will actually unstretch and flip the canvas or work unstretched so that I can kind of paint on both sides and then ultimately choose one and kind of keep going into that.
So the back is actually a very important part visually or in terms of how they evolve to the process.
Yeah. I mean, some more than others, but yes. I mean, I would like, you know, I've been looking, I've never shown the backs as like someone like Donna Nelson or other artists that actually exhibit so you can see the backs, but I kind of think of them as like this, like additional painting for anyone that gets to actually hold the work or own the work. It's like this other side to it.
Yeah, that's so interesting. It's so fascinating. So to talk about the other works that I would imagine evolved this way a little bit, two other paintings, Gathered Things and mm-hmm. And To Say Grow. Do these also have a relationship to that? I mean, I ask because I like these paintings also, but they also have elements of flames and seem to have a relationship to that.
Yeah, and those were all done at the same time I was at Yaddo this past summer. And so those were all done around this in that same period. The flames are something that I will periodically go back to as a motif, and if it's not the flames, and sometimes they morph and they turn into more, you know, flower-like or botanical elements, or sometimes that point of light turns into like a sun or the moon, and but it is, yeah, it's something that I go back to, and specifically with these three paintings, like that you called out, like it's they're very present in that.
Yeah, that's really interesting, and it's that kind of presence that seems. I mean, you said before about pointing to something higher, but it does seem like something outside ourselves. I mean, not that there's a specific narrative here, although you know maybe there is, but the title seemed to almost indicate that. Gathered Things and To Say Grow, right? Those as well as you know, the image that we started out with, of course, called Sun Worship. It's about a relationship to the world, isn't it, or no?
It is about our relationship to the world. And I think, like, the ones with the flames are, like, these, what I would think of as, like, kind of man's effort to connect, right? I think that does, like you were saying, relate to something outside of ourselves or one striving to connect to something that they may not find in themselves and they see outside. But then I think that there's also, or it would be my belief, that it's all kind of together, right? That there's not so much an inside and an outside. And for me, it's important, you know, most of my work, like you won't find like sharp lines or a clear delineation between inside and outside because, you know, there's like this permeability, right? Like of the boundaries. And so in the striving to connect to something like outside of oneself, it's actually like also connecting, you know, within, right? I mean, to go there.
Thanks. Yeah, I see that. It's really beautiful. And something to me that's almost, you know, luminous about them that, you know, visually that comes out, which is really fascinating too. Is there anything else you want to say about Sun Worship that I haven't asked? I want to ask you one last question, but it's such a fascinating painting that I was really pulled in by and felt like kind of a gazing piece, you know. Is there anything else you want to add to that I should have asked? Or?
I mean, not necessarily. I think that purple kind of shadow or along the side, the left side of the piece, not of the piece, but of the form. I feel like that's such an important element to it, right? Because it's it is, I mean, just color-wise and formally, right? It is, because it's not a yellow, it's a purplish-blue, which isn't necessarily something, I don't have a statement about it. It doesn't mean anything, but it's also these paintings in which I'm always experimenting. I'm always trying to push the material to do something new that I will then, you know, get excited about and then go further with. So to me, in that painting, there's the color relationships that happen in it. And then there's also in the flower, like top part, sun, you know, orangey and yellow portion, just what that I got so into, like what the material was actually doing, you know, how it was kind of like these like little explosions of color. So those are just two parts of it to me that have become really important, and that I'm then will take into other paintings.
No, that's so interesting. Well, I want to congratulate you on being in that show, and of course your other work. But that's a really beautiful piece on worship, and of course the listeners can find out more and see the image on this page. I want to ask you one more question before we go, which is a little off topic. What are you reading at the moment?
Well, I read a lot of fiction, but I also read try to read poetry, and so right now I'm reading Ada Limón's Bright Dead Things, which is, she's a poet laureate of the United States right now. And this, I think it's her most recent book, if not most recent, then her second most recent. But she's so good. She's so good, and it's great. So that's what I'm reading.
Bright Dead Things, you said, by Ada Limón.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Lauren. I want to thank you for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure. And again, thanks so much for your time, Lauren.
Thank you. It was great.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.